Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. In this segment, Pastor Nathan will be bringing a series of messages from the book of Genesis.
Genesis chapter 25, verse number 12. Here we go. The Bible says, "Now these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names, according to the generations of the firstborn: Ishmael, Nebajoth, Kedar, Adabel, Mitzam, Mishma, Duma, and Massa, Hadar, Tema, Jetor, Naphish, Kima. These are the sons of Ishmael. And these are their names by their towns and by their castles, 12 princes according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years. And he gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people. They dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the child struggled together within, and the children struggled together within her. And she said, If it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. First came out red all over like a hairy garment. They called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was plain man, dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentil. And he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his brother. Father, help us this evening as we look at this passage of Scripture. Give us wisdom. If there's anyone that doesn't know you as their personal Savior, I pray that they'll trust you before it's eternally too late. In Jesus' name, amen. We discussed the first part of chapter 25 last week. Tonight we'll continue with this chapter. One thing to remember is that chapter 25 is not chronological in its event. For example, Abraham dies, Ishmael dies, and the twins are born. Well, the twins are born 15 years before Abraham dies and 63 years before Ishmael dies, so it's not chronological. So know that the events are not necessarily in order. But there is something to consider in the second half of this chapter, and we'll entitle this chapter, or the second half of this chapter, my sermon this evening, Death and Life. Death and Life. The first point would be obviously death. Makes sense. Last week we discussed the death of Abraham, but I don't believe you ever really get over the death of a parent or a child or a sibling. You know, we read these passages of Scripture rather quickly, but if you were to put yourself and try to put yourself in the sandals of Isaac, in the sandals of Ishmael, in the sandals of maybe Jacob and Esau, you would find yourself realizing that they're saying goodbye or see you later to a loved one that they love dearly. Many of you have put away or had to say goodbye or see you later to family members that you love dearly. You know, I know this. I know that you never, ever get over it. You can get through it, but you never get over it. You know, so many valuable lessons are learned from my father. I think about him every day, to be honest with you. And I believe if you have a parent that has passed, you probably think about that parent every day as well. It's natural. But I'm thankful that I'm not where I was 2 years ago. Even though I'll never get over it, I can, by the grace of God, get through it. So when I think of the death of Abraham, I feel for Isaac and I feel for Ishmael. Even though it's a quick passage of Scripture necessarily, and they buried their father, that was their father. They laid to rest someone whom they loved dearly. It will be another 48 years, and Isaac will lay to rest his brother. Now, Isaac has lost his brother and his parents. Although he had six other siblings, I would guess Ishmael was the closest to him. I know the events of Isaac's birth and Isaac's birthday and Ishmael making fun of Isaac and Sarah making Ishmael and Hagar leave. I know those probably weren't real exciting, eventful moments in the life of Ishmael and Isaac. But nonetheless, instead of getting bitter, it doesn't look like Ishmael and Isaac get bitter towards each other. And I really don't have any reason to see that they fought all the time. As a matter of fact, when Abraham dies, the only two brothers that show up to bury him, the Bible tells us, Isaac and Ishmael. And so I don't know their relationship. All I can go by is what I see there in Scripture. But we do know that when Ishmael dies, the Bible says all of his brethren were there. So evidently Isaac went to see his brother right before he passed away. They were probably close, I guess, as brothers could be. So, listen. I don't know, but if you've lost someone that you're having a hard time getting over, I just want you to know you don't have to get over it. You don't have to get over it. You shouldn't get over it. I'll never get over the idea that my dad is in heaven. But I can get through it. And by the grace of God, if you're burdened because of a loved one that has passed on and you're grieving so where you cannot seem to shake it, I want you to know that you can get through it by the grace of God. And it's okay to mourn. I think it's important to mourn. I think it's important to have times of sorrow. But I don't think that you should let those sorrows and that mourning control your life. But I just wanted to talk about death for a few minutes. So now we're going to talk about life. We're going to talk about life. Now we have two deaths and two children. Two children born. The birth of the children in this same chapter. And remember, it's not chronological, but in this same chapter, we have Isaac's two children being born. Isaac and Rebekah were married 20 years before they had their first child. He was married at the age of 40, and he was having children at the age of 60. Well, she was having children, and he was 60. This is certainly a blessing. Jacob and Esau. This is certainly a blessing for Isaac and for Rebekah. As far as I can tell, this is the first twins to be born. I know it's the first time the word twins is ever mentioned in Scripture. I don't know that it's the first time twins are ever born, but it's the first time twins is ever mentioned in Scripture. It's a unique and a certain blessing. And as I mentioned last week, Abraham was able to be a part of their life for 15 years. So you have the birth of the children. Pretty miraculous. God opened up Rebekah's womb. Isaac prayed for 20 years that Rebekah would be able to have children. And finally, the day came. And the only day, as far as I can tell, came where they had children. 20 years of praying. That tells you to be persistent in your prayers. Don't give up after the first week of not getting what you asked for. You know, if you give up praying on the first week of something that you really wanted, guess what? You didn't really want it. Right? I pray for 6 months. Well, if it was really important to you, you'd have prayed for 8. Or 10 years. Keep praying. Don't give up on your prayers. God answered the prayers. Of course, we knew He would because He promised that Abraham would have a great nation through Isaac. And Isaac does have two sons. But I want us now to focus the rest of the time on the mistakes of the parents. The mistakes of the parents. Here we have parents, Rebekah and Isaac, who play favoritisms. Now, I wish my mother was here to hear this important point. You shouldn't have favorites. Of course, I joke with my mom often about Josh being her favorite all the time. When I used to live in Tennessee, I would come home to West Virginia here, and I would stay with my parents. And every time I came home, my dad, who had a picture of Josh in a frame that I think was a 40 by 40, my dad would get that out of the closet. They didn't hang it up all the time, only when I came, and they would hang three or four pictures of Josh in the bedroom. So I would wake up and there would be Josh. I would go to bed and there would be Josh. Everywhere I turned, Josh was there, and they put one in the front room to make sure that I knew that they had a favorite. And now when I go to Tennessee and I stay at Josh's house, Josh will put four or five pictures of himself up in his bedroom. What I want to do, you can help me with this maybe. I want to get an 8x10 foot and of me. Just this. And when I leave and he goes to work and I let myself out, I want to tape it to the ceiling of his bedroom so he doesn't see it until he lays down at night and there I am looking at him. That's what I want to do. That's my goal. Don't tell him. But you shouldn't have favorites. Of course, I joke with my parents about that. But you know, with Isaac and Rebekah, it wasn't a joke. It wasn't a joke. It was something that would cause great problems. Isaac loved Esau, and Rebekah loved Jacob. You can't get any more plain in Scripture when the Bible says Isaac loved Esau and Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, I'm not saying that they didn't love the other child, and I'm sure they did, but they did play favorites with the two. Parents, this is a dangerous thing to show favoritism with one of your children over the other. You know, I have four children. Each of my children are different. And you know what? I love them for their similarities, and I love them for their differences too. Make sure you evaluate your circumstance, parents. Make sure you evaluate your circumstance and search to see if you are playing favoritisms with one child over the other. I'm sure if you ask your kids, they will tell you, yes, you are. But I believe if you're sincere and you go to the Lord and ask the Lord to help and guide you in this area, you'll be able to be fair and balanced parents. And that's an important thing, probably not something that you've heard preached many a time. But I see that when these two parents started playing favorites for whatever reason, they cause strife from the beginning. When you read Scripture, you know God knows the end times, and the Bible tells us that Jesus or God told Rebekah, hey, you got two nations going on, and they're always going to fight. You know, do you think that was a subject of prophecy? Or God knew that Isaac and Rebekah would totally flub the dub on raising these children? See, we can't sit there and say, see, God said that they would be warring all the time. No, maybe God said they're going to be all warring all the time. And the reason is it because you parents were deadbeats and you didn't do right by your children. And so Isaac and Rebekah made a big mistake. And they'll have war throughout their family for several more decades. Isaac loved Esau. Rebekah loved Jacob. They played favoritism. But I want us to see the lack of important upbringing that these parents evidently failed to give them. You see, I see the foolishness of the children. They behaved foolishly. From the beginning, Jacob grabbed Esau's heel. From the beginning, they were in competition. Instead of loving each other properly, they were always out to take advantage of the other. Jacob, more so than Esau. But I want you to see the lack of important training that Isaac and Rebekah evidently failed to teach. And children, if you have siblings, this is an important lesson. You should get along with your brothers and sisters. You should get along with them. Even you adults, you should get along with your brothers. Well, you don't know what they did to me. They're family, man. Bury the hatchet and don't tell anybody where it's at. And get your family back together. God did not intend for families to war. God didn't give them twins so that they could fight all the time. God gave them twins, and evidently through some poor parenting, they fought all the time. I remember when Josh and I were the closest to each other's age, and Josh and I would constantly, Josh would always fight, would pick on me. And somebody caught it. And so we would always be at war. And then, so if we ever bickered and fight, you know what my mom would do? This is the truth. My mom would set us down. She would get out the Bible and she would read 1 Corinthians 13. That's the love chapter. And she would read that to us. And then she would make us apologize and then hug. And there were occasional times where they went too far and they made us kiss each other on the cheek. It's too far. But what my parents were trying to instill in us is, hey, you guys shouldn't be fighting. The parents failed in a couple of areas. And although we don't have a huge lesson plan of how these parents parented, I can look at the way that a parent parents. Typically, you can look at a way a parent parents by the outcome of the children. Not all the time. Now, hate it. You sit there and say, well, I have a child and they've gone astray. Listen, I do believe that the Bible teaches to train up a child in the way he should go when he's old, we're not to depart from it. I believe that because it's in the Scripture. Some people say, well, that's just a principle, I think it's a precept. God said it, I believe it. I don't have a problem with that. Here's why I believe that. Because until the kids have perfect parents, there's no kid that's going to turn out perfect. So for you to think that you raised your child perfectly is to be an ignorant parent because you know you didn't. You were a human being. You got frustrated. You lost your temper. You said things you shouldn't have said. You did things that you shouldn't do. And you got mad at times where you shouldn't have got mad. And you were a bad example sometimes when you shouldn't have been a bad example. So let's not pretend that we're all perfectly good, godly Christian parents, that we never made a mistake. So if a child goes astray, you may have been a good parent. They may have just caught some bad action. And every child makes a decision, of course. But typically, you can sit there and you can raise a child or rear a child. And so I'm making some deductive reasoning by looking down the road, seeing how the boys turned out. What was important? Esau was trained how to be a hunter. But it seems to me that Isaac failed in leading him to be a man of integrity and a man to love God. He taught him how to be tough, but he failed in teaching him how to use his head. He trained him how to be strong and wild, but failed to teach him temperance and self-control. Jacob was trained how to take care of himself. Jacob evidently was taught to look out for number one. He was taught to use his brain, but he used it to take advantage of his own brother. He might have been taught to cook and to be smart, but he wasn't taught proper love, and he wasn't taught proper benevolence. Friends, see, we need to rear our children to be well-rounded citizens. We need to teach them how to be good cooks, good fishermen, good gardeners. But we also need to teach them how to not let their desires control their life. How to have self-control. How to love one another and not take advantage of someone else who may not be capable. I think we as men want our sons to be manly men. And I want that for my son as well. I want my son to be a manly man. I don't want no sissy boy. I don't care what society says. Well, they're all the same. Boys should act like girls and girls should act like boys and everybody should be the same. Hogwash and applesauce. I want my boy to be a man. I want him to look like a man. I want him to act like a man. And I want my girls to look like a lady and act like a lady. I want there to be distinction there. I want my son to be a gentleman. I want my daughters to be ladies. I want my son to be manly. I want my daughters to be ladylike. So I think it's important to teach your sons how to shoot a gun, how to whittle with a knife, how to throw a ball, how to get back up when you get knocked down. I think those are all important rules. I think it's important, ladies, that you take your daughters and you teach them how to cook, maybe how to quilt, how to take care of a baby, how to be a good mother someday. But we don't sacrifice the spiritual for the superficial. Teach your boys to love God. Teach them to make church a priority, not a convenience. Teach them to read the Word of God and not just watch football. Teach your ladies how to love God, how to please God. Teach them the Word of God and not just how to capture memories. Friends, we as parents need to invest in our children the principles of the Word of God. Look at Esau. Esau comes in because Esau has a lack of self-control, number one. And number two, he wants what he wants. He evidently did not have a brain for money because he's fixing to purchase the most expensive bowl of porridge ever in the history of mankind. This is going to be a bowl of soup that will cost him millions and millions of dollars. What a nut. That's crazy. He comes in after a hunt that evidently went bad. And he is hungry. I've been hungry, and I've even used the phrase, I'm starving to death. And you know what? I have never, ever been in a situation where I even looked like I was starving to death. But he comes in and he makes statements like, I'm hungry, Jacob, will you give me a bowl of soup? Simple request. Jacob, will you give me a bowl of soup? Esau, not the smartest cookie in the cookie jar, maybe a taco too short of a full value menu. He wasn't all the way on the bright side of things. Can I have a bowl of soup? Jacob. Jacob's a smart cookie. He gets it from his mama's side. Because of Laban, we know that, right? He gets it from his mama's side. And he looks and he says, sure, I'll give you a bowl of soup. But I want your birthright. Now, this is Abraham's birthright. This is Isaac's birthright. I want your birthright. Sell me your birthright, i.e. millions, if not billions of dollars. Sell me your birthright, and I'll give you a bowl of soup. Esau. Well, what good does it do me if I starve to death? I don't know if he could have gone to his dad's tent and maybe grabbed a snack. But this guy thinks he is going to die if he doesn't eat this bowl of soup. And he says, what good does it do me if I starve to death? Here you got a man that cannot control his appetite for whatever it may be. He sacrificed a lot for his fleshly desires, didn't he? Do we know of anybody that's sacrificing a lot for their fleshly desires? And then you have a guy over here. You have a guy over here that's taking advantage of somebody that's in need. You ever taken advantage of somebody that's in need? Oh yeah, you need something? Sure, I'll help you out. Let's see how I can make this work out to my advantage. That's not benevolence. Evidently, somewhere in the parenting process, they taught their kids how to be good cooks. They taught their kids how to be a good take-carer. They taught their son how to be a good hunter. They taught him how to be a good fisherman. Isaac looked at Esau and said, that's a manly man right there. Rebekah looked at Jacob and said, that's a guy. They were proud as peacocks. We need to teach our children. We need to teach our children to be able to control their fleshly desires. Okay? We need to teach them to be a person of self-control, temperance. The Bible uses the word temperance, self-control. We need to teach them how to have self-control in their temper. We need to teach them how to have self-control in their appetite. We need to teach them how to have self-control in their finances. We need to teach our children how to handle finances. Don't take advantage of the weak to make yourself rich. That's not good proper teaching either. What I'm trying to tell you is, somewhere along the line, it seems to me that maybe Isaac and Rebekah were focused on the external and not the internal. And I think you should focus on the external. I want my children to be very smart and shrewd about how they handle money. I want them to know principles of money. I want them to understand the value of a dollar, and I want them to understand that money is not everything, but it does sure help pay bills. I also want them to understand that their fleshly desires don't need to be met every time they want something. Can I have a new cell? My daughter broke her cell phone. How long ago did you break your cell phone? Probably the day she got it. She's like her mother in that area. She got her cell phone and she shut it in the door. And it had a cracked screen and it kept getting worse and worse and worse. It's been a year now, but old dad won't go get her a new cell phone. I'm a mean guy. I don't want her to crush her cell phones. You know what? I bet you the next time she looks to shut her door, her cell phone won't be there. You say, that's a hard principle to learn. No. Number one, she doesn't need a cell phone anyway. I grew up fine without one. Thank you very much. But maybe tomorrow I'll get her one. I want her to know that that cell phone is not life and death. And hey, she needs to be responsible for it. I want my children to know that certain things aren't necessary. Just because you want something doesn't mean you need to get it. You ever wanted a car? I did, man. I had an itch for a car about 6 months ago. I wanted to get me a Buick Enclave. We took our van. We were going to get rid of our van, trade it in, and I was sitting there thinking, man, I'm so close to paying that off, that van off, but I can make this payment, and I could have me a nice vehicle. And we looked, and we looked, and we looked, and every time I'd go in, the Lord just didn't let me do it. I had a desire, but then I kept thinking, do I want that payment for the next 6 years? So you know what I decided to do? My wife and I decided to do. Praise the Lord, we just paid off our van. I don't have a car payment. I got a lot of cars with a lot of miles, but I don't have a car payment. Now, will I ever get a car? Someday, I'm sure I'll have to. But I fought the urge to splurge. Now, I wish I'd have done that every time in my life, and I could tell you a lot of examples. We wouldn't have time for the rest of the service for you to tell how many times that I splurged on what I got, and I wish I hadn't gotten it. But I want to teach my kids that they don't need things all the time. Every time a commercial comes on the television for toys, Brandon will look and Winter will look. Hey, Dad, what? I want that for my birthday. If I got them everything that they told me they wanted for their birthday, I'd have to get a U-Haul truck. I would have to get a U-Haul truck because they want everything. But I want them to, I want to teach them. And I wish Esau would have said, hey, son, you don't need to sell your birthright for a bowl of soup. You're not going to starve to death. And that was a principle evidently not instilled in his life. On the other hand, I wish they'd have taught Jacob, hey, Jacob, you got a great mind. You got a mind for business. You're a smart cookie. Don't take advantage of people. You reap what you sow, don't you? Is there any part of Jacob's life where he gets taken advantage of? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He inherits a wife he did not want. And her name was Leah, which means she was very plain. And so Rachel was beautiful. Leah evidently wasn't. She was tender-eyed. And there was a reason that he bypassed Leah to go for Rachel. And when he woke up the next morning, it was Leah. For 7 years, he worked for Leah. He got tricked. He got tricked. You reap what you sow. You know, I want you to know that we as parents that are still parenting, and grandparents can help parents, we need to teach our kids the superficial things. I like the Pittsburgh Steelers because my dad liked the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I like West Virginia University because my dad liked West Virginia University. It's just the facts. My kids like West Virginia because I like West Virginia, and they lived in Tennessee. It's just the facts. That's okay. That's superficial. But I'd rather them have godly character. I would rather them to not necessarily know that they need to fulfill the lust of their flesh for every desire that they want. It can cost them in the long run. And it cost Esau a lot. Parents, we need to be better about raising our children. I want my son to be manly, but I don't want him to be so manly that he's of no spiritual value. He might be the strongest person in the world, but if he doesn't love God and seek after God, then I failed as a parent. And I mean that. That's hard. I don't want to get that. And I'm going to fail as a parent. I just hope that it doesn't cost me that. I want them to. And you know what? The sad thing about my life is I haven't lived it yet. Someday I'm going to look back. Right now I'm looking to what I want. Some parents have to look back. And here's what the thing is. You can't redo anything about the past. Ask God to forgive you where you failed and try to love your children where they're at and try to get them back to the Lord if they're away from the Lord. And if they're still with the Lord, praise God for it. They made it in spite of us, right? But we need to teach some value to our children. So this is what I find in Genesis chapter 25, the second half, and I pray that it will be a help to you. If you're here this evening and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, friend, I want you to know that you may know about God, but you don't know God. And more importantly than anything else that I could tell you is that Jesus loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you than to live in heaven without you, and He wants to be your Savior. And if there's nothing else you get, if you get that, that's important. But you know, as parents, we need to make sure that we are rearing our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We're not going to be perfect. We're not going to be perfect. I mean, my parents were good parents, but they did not produce perfect children. They have Josh, Anna, and John. My mom's not here, so what can she say? But you know, there's been a lot of bumps in our roads. As children, even as adults, we've made a lot of mistakes. But there was always something to go back to after the mistake. And that was sound, principled teaching from the Word of God. We made decisions, and we made bad decisions. But there was something to go back to. So instill in your children, parents that have children, instill in them the value of the Word of God. Instill in it. Pound it in their hearts. Put it in there. That's the most important thing we can do as parents.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.